You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
Last year, the Saanich Board of Education tabled a deficit budget. The School Act requires boards of education to develop a balanced budget, but the Saanich Board felt that the quality of education was being threatened. The school board backed down when some additional funds were found. This year, another school board has introduced an unbalanced budget, and this time in the Cowichan Valley. But this time, instead of additional funds, Education Minister George Abbott fired the Cowichan School Board. Eden Haythorn-Thwaite is chair of that Cowichan School Board, and she's joined us on the phone from Cowichan on Vancouver Island. Hi, Eden, and welcome to Vancouver Cooperative Radio, and specifically to Red Eye.
Thank you, Mordecai. It's nice to be here.
Now, tell us why your board felt compelled to submit a deficit budget.
Well, there's probably more than one reason, not least of which was that the five trustees who represented the board majority after the November election had actually run on platforms of submitting needs or realistic budgets to the ministry rather than complying with the allocation from the province if the allocation was not adequate. Since 2009 in Cowichan, this was my seventh budget, and I'd always sat as a minority trustee on the board. In the first six budgets, we always made cuts, in some cases huge cuts, and since 2009, we had made almost $11 million of cuts to our operating budget, which had compelled those boards to cut programs and services that were really quite essential. So when we were in a position of having a majority of trustees who were willing to do so, we proceeded with what we felt was a restoration direction.
So you've been entirely up front, and you were elected precisely on the policy that you implemented.
Well, yes, and we were, last November, that's what we were elected on. We were very upfront, and anyone will tell you that, even people who dislike us intensely. And I've been elected three times on that platform.
Now, the assertion is frequently made that school boards are required to balance their budget. Is that in fact the case?
Well, Section 111 commands us, it says unto us, that estimated expenditures shall not exceed estimated revenue. But there's a great deal more to something like a school act than one little Section 11, 111. In the legal opinion that we secured just before we were fired from our lawyers, the legal opinion, which is an 11-page opinion, points out that there are many mandates that school boards are asked to complete under the School Act, and there is nothing in the School Act that indicates that one has more weight than the other. The other side of our obligation is that we are intended to provide equal learning opportunities for all our students in our school district and to meet community expectations. And therefore, I suppose you could simply say, well, yes, we do have an obligation to balance the budget, but we have at least an equal obligation to meet the other mandate.
And those had been those other mandates, from what you said, had been sacrificed in earlier budget. Services that were essential had been cut in order to meet this single demand for a balanced budget.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Take us through the events then after you submit the deficit budget. What happened?
Well, on May 16th, we gave third and final reading to our final budget. And that budget was, what we had done was we'd been asked, you know, we'd gotten our allocation back in March. That allocation was $2.3 million short of providing us with the funding we would even need to meet the status quo obligations of the district. So the first thing we were obligated to do was kind of zero everything. And we did this by, this is just how what we decided to do, to make things as clear as we could. We were put in a position so that we wouldn't put the school district into chaos. We balanced the budget, basically. We had to lay off we have 17 teachers, which is unimaginable in this district. We also made some cuts to in-district travel and legal costs and things like that. And we actually met that rigor. We actually managed to find that $2.3 million, most of it from the layoffs of the teachers. Then we went back in to remediate and added about, it was exactly 20 items that we had come to through a long period of community consultation that totaled about $3.8 million. And that put back programs and services that we'd lost really in the last two or three years. We submitted that budget. We asked for a meeting with the minister. The minister rejected the idea. And we repeatedly asked for meetings both with him as well as with the Premier's office and the Treasury Board.
And what was the purpose of your request for those meetings? What were you hoping to get in terms, should they have positively responded? What did you want to do in the dialogue with them?
Well, we felt that, you know, in most most human contact, there should be some means to appeal a situation. We wanted to be able to appeal to the government and show them our case. We had built a case. We have folders and folders full of letters and material that we had collected from our employees and our parents, demonstrating the needs. And we wanted to appeal the allocation, show the province we needed more. We were not under any illusions. We're all rather elderly people. So, you know, we felt that we probably would not be able to secure the full amount we were looking for, but we were certainly hoping to reverse the trend. And that was what we were looking for. Just the opportunity to sit down and talk to the government about our needs.
Now, you mentioned earlier that the board was voted adopting the position it did by 5-4, and so there was a minority who opposed that general approach, and one of those members, I understand, voted against it, saying the process had been hijacked by special interests. How would you respond to that accusation?
Well, of course, it's actually something that's come up before. Apparently, the people who work and care for the children in our schools, our teachers and our support workers, are a special interest whose voice is to be rejected on the grounds that they are a, quote, special interest. Parents who wish to see their schools properly resourced are a special interest. Members of the community who are anxious to see their public education system sustained are a special interest. It's really just words, it's rhetoric, and really it became almost a culture of lying, of the denial of even that there were any cuts that were harmful. So it wasn't really a difference of opinion, you know, it wasn't a philosophical difference of opinion. It was really between those who really understood that if we don't stand up, the system was going to collapse, and those who are actually part of a process of wanting to see the system, sort of undergo this sustained attack so that private venture can be introduced.
Now, after firing your board, who did Education Minister George Abbott put to run the school board?
We have with us now Mr. Mike McKay, who is actually the superintendent of Surrey. I'd like to point out Surrey is the largest, I believe, the largest school district in British Columbia. So he is continuing to be the superintendent of Surrey, and he is also going to play the role that nine hardworking trustees played previously.
There was a report, and I'm unclear about that somehow some more money appeared after this superintendent took over.
Yes. The last meeting of the elected board was June 20th, and as usual, I'm not an accountant, but certainly over 7 years you become aware of how things work. You know, we have what they call a restricted surplus, which was, you know, a sum of money that had to actually be kept in surplus in order to meet some of the sort of year to year, the year obligations for the school district. In other words, money that probably had to be sort of like a contingency fund that couldn't be spent until we were sure that all of our obligations were cared for. Of course, the closer you get to the end of the year, the more you're looking at this and saying, well, surely we could spend some of this. As of June 20th, we were told there really was nothing in that pot of money that we could use to to apply towards our programs and services. But as of the July 10th first and second reading of their budget, in other words, when they rescinded the elected people's budgets, they had found $300,000, which is one element of it. But the second part of it was that rather than taking the $300,000 and applying it in any way, shape, or form to the list of 20 that the community had endorsed, they took the entire lot, almost the entire $300,000, and applied it towards resourcing the international student program.
Which wasn't anything that the community itself had said it considered a priority.
Not in the 7 years I've been a trustee. And, of course, that is a program that is a business where we charge about $12,000 a year to foreign students to come to Cowichan. And it's touted as a means to raise revenue so that the government doesn't have to sponsor us the way they're supposed to. Of course, it's never worked out that way, but it really has become a great, it saps the system of money when we desperately need it for the K-12 kids who are from Cowichan.
Now, what has been the reaction of the people in Cowichan to Abbott's sacking of the board?
There's been a fairly sustained outrage. We've gone into the summer now, and I think there's a bit of a tendency to sort of set all of this aside. But I have to say that we're having a campaign meeting today, this afternoon, by the way, and I think that it will be quite well attended. And that's comprised of people who wish to, A, continue to challenge this decision, or B, demand a by-election so that we can see, so that we can review the community commitment to our particular program.
And are you considering other action in addition to this, any legal action in relation to the government's firing decision?
Yes, we actually the legal firm that did our legal opinion just before we were fired we actually met with them last Monday, and they have provided us with a range of options. They're anxious to assist us in challenging this, and we haven't quite decided how we're going to proceed, but it very much looks to me as if it's going to be in the area of seeking a by-election as soon as possible, which, by the way, we've been told by Mr. Abbott we shall not have. In an unprecedented move, he on CBC told Gregor Craigie that there would be no by-election in Cowichan until the next round of local elections in 2014, and basically because he said they could not be certain that the same thing wouldn't happen again. In other words, Cowichan doesn't get an election because Cowichan doesn't vote the right way.
Yes, democracy is wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it would be.
Well, thanks a lot for speaking with us this morning, Eden, and good luck with getting some real democracy in the board's operations. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mordecai, and keep in touch.
All right, will do.
Okay.
Bye-bye. I've been speaking with Eden Haythorne-Thwaite. She's the former chair of the Cowichan School Board.